1025 is your local donation station. Here at the game, we're happy to help in accepting donations to help the tornado disaster relief efforts. The Nashville Community Resource Center is in need of the following items: tarps, rolled plastic, hand sanitizer, laundry detergent, work gloves, trash bags, just to name a few. Donations will be accepted Monday through Friday from 8:30 in the morning until 5 in the afternoon at our studio located at 1824 Murfreesboro Pike here in Nashville. That's right by the airport. You can see a full list of the items at thegamenashville.com/donations. thegamenashville.com/donations. Once again, that list: tarps, rolled plastic, hand sanitizer, laundry detergent, work gloves, trash bags, just some on the list. Get a full list, go to thegamenashville.com. Every year, or at least for last several years, I know that Belmont and Vanderbilt have played over at then First Tennessee Park, now First Horizon Park. We know Germantown was hit hard, and I guess they were supposed to play today. Is that correct?
No, it's next week.
Next Tuesday?
Yeah, March 17th. So they are no longer
Wrong
going to
Tuesday.
Do that. Yeah, they are. But I just saw this release from Belmont. Due to damages sustained from the tornado at First Horizon Park, the Nashville Sounds announced Tuesday that they will no longer host the Belmont-Vanderbilt game on March 17th. Both schools are working together to play the game at another location. The date and time is to be determined. So First Tennessee or First Horizon did get, you know, it was there. It was right in the path of everything and did sustain some damage. I saw the pictures of the scoreboard. Mm-hmm. It looked pretty banged up. So kind of figured they would have to do something like this. And unfortunately won't be able to play that game over there.
Yeah. Haven't really heard anything on the college baseball front.
No.
Nothing to this point.
Yeah, about the...
And they're right in the heart of their season, and so far haven't really heard much at all. So I don't know if that's going to change or where that's going, but pretty interesting. The big news today is that the Ivy League men's and women's basketball tournaments have been canceled due to coronavirus. And right now, reading some of the stuff from Harvard, they're ticked about it. They beat Yale twice on the men's side, and they're the number two seed, and now they're going to get left out of the tournament. Didn't get a chance to try to beat them three times, but I've seen a lot of Harvard players, Tommy Amaker is the Harvard coach, not pleased with that decision because now Yale is getting to go to the NCAA tournament without winning their conference tournament, the Ivy League conference tournament. Matt Jones is on the line with us, Kentucky Sports Radio. Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're doing fantastic as we sit here in the heart of Nashville, and the SEC tournament is supposed to get cranked up tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. So let me just start with the news, and I want to know how much you guys are talking about it. And I know it sounded silly yesterday or over the weekend or maybe even on Friday, but as we sit here today and all these cancellations everywhere, I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but, I mean, do you think we're going to be talking about possibly the SEC basketball tournament being played in front of no one?
No, I don't think they can do that at this point. I mean, I think if they were going to do that, they needed to do it yesterday because it starts Wednesday. You know, the Ivy League tournament doesn't start till Friday.
Yeah.
So they have, you know, they had a few days. Plus, the Ivy League tournament was on Harvard's campus. Harvard had a student test positive, and I think that's a little more of a worry. I think you got to be more careful when you bring people to a campus than in a downtown area. So, no, I don't think that's going to happen. There's also a little thing that happens with the SEC tournament that's called insurance. And they have insurance if it's canceled. And if it's canceled, they can cash it. If they play it in front of nobody, they can't cash it. They just lose the money. I cannot imagine they're going to play a tournament where they get no gate receipts and not get their insurance. So I think it's more likely they cancel the whole thing than they play it in front of no people.
I sat in the Georgia Dome the year the tornado hit and when Kentucky was playing, and we know what happened. That tournament, as you said, was not canceled. It was played in front of no one over on the campus of Georgia Tech. So basically, they listening to your words, they didn't get insurance and they didn't get gate receipts. Is that correct?
Yeah, and that's the worst of all options for the play. So, you know, I mean, I was at that same tournament. Kentucky was about to play. And
that's right. They were next up, yeah.
So they ended up playing the next day at an empty Georgia Tech stadium. And, you know, listen, I could be wrong. I mean, if something crazy happens today, they might do it. But I think they'll play it. Now, I do wonder about the NCAA tournament next week, because the thing is, and I'm not, you know, an expert, but I've followed this quite a bit because I'm intrigued by it. We're going to know by this weekend whether this is going to be like a full-fledged, really bad thing or just a kind of serious annoyance. And if we find out this weekend that the cases have quadrupled like they did in Italy, then they may not have a choice with the NCAA tournament. But, you know, the events that have canceled for the most part so far, like the Indian Wells tennis tournament, those are tournaments that draw worldwide people, and that's a bigger issue when you're bringing the entire world into one spot. I don't think it's as big an issue when, like, the NCAA tournament, it's one country. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, good point. The NHL, MLB, NBA, and MLS, and that affects two professional sports teams in this market with the Predators and now Nashville SC, first year of MLS in this city. I've never seen a joint statement before in all the years I've been doing this, Matt, of four professional sports leagues coming together and coming out with a joint statement. So that's happened where, you know, the media members not going into locker rooms. And so,
yeah, but that's, I don't think that has anything to do with the coronavirus. That is, they've been waiting to do this. I mean, they just don't think media members should be in locker rooms.
Well, I don't think so. That's not what the memo said.
Yeah, well, of course it's not. I mean, they're not going to say, we've been waiting to do this for 50 years. And now, I mean, listen, you're not going to convince me that the danger to those players is media members walking in when they sweat on each other all day. And they, like, you know, it's like the idea, the Atlantic 10 banned handshakes. Like, these dudes are running all over, sweating on each other, playing basketball for 40 minutes, and the thing that's going to infect them is the handshake at the end of the game? Stop it. I mean, I've never really believed reporters should be in locker rooms anyway, but I also don't think that's really the worry. I think the bigger worry is just in general, look, if you don't think these media members should be close enough to players to come in the locker room, and to be quite frank with you, you shouldn't be playing the games, period. So, you know, excuse me for maybe being a little skeptical of that one.
No, I mean, I agree. I've been saying here on the show today, what's the line? I mean, what is it? I mean, it's, you're canceling flights everywhere, but yet we can still hop on a flight for dirt cheap. Then if it's a problem, then why are we able to do it? I mean, I just want to know what the line is.
Well, though, here's the line. In my opinion, this is why people who are really interested in this stuff should look at Italy. Because what Italy did is Italy tried to do what we're doing for about 3 or 4 weeks. They tried to kind of just massage around it, and it just realized, like, the days of that working are past, including here. Like, the thing is, we're at the mercy of this thing now. It's either going to hit or it's not. And these little minor provisions we're doing are not going to help. The only thing that would help would be to shut it down, like what we did in Italy. And I just don't think this country's ready to do that. I just don't think this country wants to do that. And so, you know, we're kind of at the mercy of this disease. We don't know if it's going to hit us hard or not. And there's really not a whole lot we can do about it. So, for instance, I'm coming to the SEC tournament because I'm not worried about it. It's either going to happen or it's not. And if you look at the places, like in this little small town in Kentucky where it spread, it was at a Walmart, and it spread before anybody even knew it had spread. That's what's happening everywhere, because in America we're not testing enough people. So there are hundreds of people that have it that we don't even know have it that are spreading.
So your belief is, if I'm hearing this correct, that when this is all said and done, when it's passed, which hopefully is sooner rather than later, you don't think these leagues are coming back to this rule. You think they're going to keep it implemented.
No, they've been waiting for a reason to do this. They have. They've been waiting. You know, there is, I believe when it comes to locker room access, you'll never get it again. That's my belief. Now, maybe I'll be proven wrong, but that's my belief. I bet you never get it again. At the University of Kentucky a few years back, you used to be able to go in the locker rooms, and then they had this little incident where, like, two reporters kind of got into it in the locker room. And so they said, you know, to calm everything down, we're not going to allow you back in the locker room for a couple games. And then they never let them back ever again. It was like the perfect straw to never allow them back in the locker room. And I think that's what you're going to see across the sporting leagues. And I don't think it's like some travesty, because I'm not sure you need to be in the locker rooms. But I will make you a bet. I could come on your show before the SEC tournament next year, and you still won't be allowed in locker room.
I'm going to remember this conversation. I'm really intrigued on where that's going.
I think he's onto something. I really do.
I mean, that would certainly affect how we conduct our business here. That's very interesting.
I would like those sporting leagues to look me in the eye and say medically why it's necessary to close the locker rooms but to still play the games. Because if you're telling me that being so close to a media member in a locker room could infect the players, then sitting next to strangers in the stands can do it. So you're not being honest. If you believe it's that big a deal, and I'm not saying it's not, I'm not a doctor and I'm not a professional on this, but if you think it's that big a deal, then you shouldn't be playing these games at all. You just shouldn't. And they're not going to do that. So they're making this rule, which to me has other secondary goals, because there's no way that I can rub shoulders sitting with the guy in section 34 with a stranger, and that's okay. But these people in the locker room are not okay. Just forget it. It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, the thing for the last 2 days that I've been confused with, Matt, is the alternative, what they're doing is, because you still have to have access, is they're pulling now the head coach and certain players into what? Into a room full of people at a podium.
That's what we already do in college.
So that's okay, but yet going into a locker. So it's okay to pull the head coach and players into a room full of people, media members, at a podium, but yet that's safer as opposed to walking into a locker room. I guess that's where I'm confused.
Well, it's because you're confused because there's no logic in it. I mean, it's just, you know, the thing is, you can never, my grandpa used to say to me, never try to rationalize with a crazy person because you'll just hit your head against the wall. And that's exactly this. And I've forgotten that over the years while I'm on Twitter. But I'm not saying these people in the leagues are crazy, but they're not making this decision based on logic. That's why, again, I keep going back to Italy. For weeks, Italy did this thing of, okay, we can play, but we're not going to play here, but we will play here. And then, I mean, they realized that's just foolhardy. You either got to stop playing or just go on as is, and they finally decided to stop playing. I don't know that we'll get to that here, but we might. But I don't think it's going to happen before the SEC tournament. But I do wonder about the NCAA tournament next week. I mean, the NCAA tournament is going to be played. One of the rounds is in Spokane, Washington, which is where a lot of the problems are. I mean, we'll see. But I could see that. And the other thing is, unlike the SEC tournament, most of the SEC tournament money comes from gate receipts. For the NCAA tournament, most of that money comes from television.
Contract, yep.
So it's less important to have people in the stands than it is for the SEC tournament.
No doubt. Matt Jones on the line with us, Kentucky Sports Radio. What's the real story on Ashton Hagans? What's going on?
Well, he's just, I think, been a little bit of an annoyance for everybody around the program for a few weeks, and I think it came to a head at that Tennessee game when he got into it with Calipari, and I think there was just sort of an agreement that he needed to have a one-game suspension, and I think they called it personal time to sort of protect the kid, which, you know, I'm cool with, but let's be real as to what it is. What it is that, you know, he needed to be suspended, and I think that's what ended up happening.
Matt Jones is with us from Kentucky Sports Radio. It also came out, Emmanuel Quickly was named the SEC Player of the Year, and John Calipari named the Coach of the Year. Probably not a huge surprise because we see this most years where they start off with a young group a little slow and then get better as the year goes on. But what did you think of those honors?
Yeah, I think this was one of Cal's best jobs. First of all, this team is not as young. I mean, they only start one freshman, which for some teams that's very young. But, I mean, this is actually, for Cal, an older team. But the biggest issue for this team is it's just not as talented as most of his teams. I mean, here's what I've learned following Kentucky and Calipari over the years. You can win with freshmen, but they better be damn good. Like, they got to be elite freshmen. The quickest way to lose is to have second-tier freshmen. That's when you lose. And Calipari this year doesn't have his freshmen, with the exception of Tyrese Maxey, they're kind of second-tier freshmen. So that means he basically has one star freshman and a bunch of sophomores and juniors. And the sophomores and juniors are good, but they're not John Wall, Anthony Davis, Carl Towns good. And so I think he's done a really, really impressive job. He basically, guys, has four players that are good. four. And the bench, now they played well against Florida, but for most of the year, the bench hasn't really been much at all. And he's taken that team and gone from losing to Evansville to 15-3 in the SEC, which is his fourth best record as the coach of Kentucky. The only teams that have been better in conference than this one were John Wall, Anthony Davis, and the 38-1 team. That's pretty impressive when you consider they probably only have one guy on this team who's certainly going to play in the NBA, and that's Tyrese Maxey. So I've actually have been very impressed with Cal this year. I think he deserved Coach of the Year and quickly deserved it too. It was a close race. I think you could have given it to that dude at Arkansas, Jones, and you could have given it to Skylar Mays, but I think quickly was probably the right choice since he was on the best team.
Is this SEC tournament where Cal really can do his thing? Because everybody going into it is thinking, okay, Kentucky probably wins it, but there's so much unpredictability in the SEC. I have no idea what Auburn is. You know, what are they going to do in the tournament? LSU kind of in the same category, and then who knows if you have one of those teams that comes out of nowhere and does something. So I feel like that's where Cal can really be at his best.
Yeah, it's a wide open tournament. I mean, I'd say there's probably only two or three teams that can win it, probably Kentucky, Auburn, maybe Florida. But I do think there are 11, 10 teams that could make the finals, to be honest. I mean, like, it's wide open to me. I mean, this year in the SEC, the difference about this year in the SEC and other years, I think Kentucky's probably the only really good team in the league, but the bottom of the league is a lot better than it's been. So, like, take Arkansas. I mean, I think Arkansas is the 11 seed. Arkansas is good. That team should be in the NCAA tournament in terms of their talent. Now, they've underperformed, but they're good. And, you know, Vandy is the 14th seed and the worst team, and they played Kentucky. They were up 15 on Kentucky down in Nashville, and with 7 minutes to go in Lexington, they were beating them. So that is not your typical terrible SEC bottom dweller. So I think that's the thing about the league this year. On the paper, it doesn't look as strong because the best teams maybe aren't as good as they are most years. But I think the worst teams are a lot better, and that's why I think the tournament, to be quite frank with you, is wide open.
All right, last thing, Matt. With all that being said, in your opinion, how many teams from this conference get into the NCAA tournament?
Well, probably only four. I mean, You know, the problem is Mississippi State and South Carolina – both have had multiple chances to win bids, and then they go, you know, poop the bed in the game that they got to win. So, I mean, if Mississippi State were to beat Florida and then beat Kentucky in the semifinals, which they could, then maybe they squeeze in. But other than that, I think it'll just be Kentucky, Auburn, LSU, and Florida. And all those teams could advance, and all those teams, except maybe Kentucky, could lose in the first round. So, It's a weird year, and I think college basketball across the board, nobody's good.
Mm-mm.
So this will be the most exciting NCAA tournament in a long time.
Throw darts for sure. Hey, enjoy your time in Nashville. Thanks for doing this as always.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Matt Jones, Kentucky Sports Radio. We'll come back, wrap up the second hour next.